everybody. We have a bunch of folks on vacation. We want to pray for them, make sure that God has them safe while they're out and about. Many people are watching by live stream this morning. I already got multiple people saying, I'm watching by live stream. Good morning, young man. It's a great day. We're happy that you're in the house of the Lord. Turn to someone and say, you're brilliant. Tell somebody else, you're brilliant. Why are you brilliant? Because you're in the house of God. You're where God's word is going to be preached, where God's presence is going to be released, where the power of God is going to change your life. Today, you are brilliant. Come on, tell somebody else, you're brilliant. Let's all stand to our feet, get ready for worship. How many of you know you should already be prepped up for worship? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. You should already be praising. Can I hear somebody start to praise the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Before the music is ever needed, we should already be stepping into praise. Let him know how much we love him. Let him know how much we appreciate what he's done. How many of you have been blood washed by Jesus? How many of you are a new man and a new woman? How many have been baptized in the Holy Ghost? How many know you got great destiny? Hallelujah. We just came off last night. We did the last night of uproar. Oh my goodness. This place was just rocking with the power of God. If you didn't get a chance, look on Facebook. Man, all these kids, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of teenagers worshiping Jesus together. It was so exciting watching the power of God. Lord, we thank you that we can be in your presence. We thank you for the blood that washes away every stain. We thank you that we can enter into the throne room of God boldly. Lord, you said that you are a spirit, and those who worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. So today, Holy Spirit, we ask that you don't look any further. We're ready to worship our God. We're ready to praise our God. We're ready to lift up our voice. We're ready to lift up our hands. We're ready, oh God, to give you glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Lord, we honor you this morning. We praise you. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And today we choose to worship you with every fiber of our being. We refuse to allow one thing to be left on the table. We're going to give you all that we have today, Jesus, for you are worthy of all of our praise. And everybody in agreement shouted, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth is going to lead us in praise and worship.
Come on, clap those hands today. Come on, all over this house. If you came to worship the Lord this morning, come on, take a minute and do it. Thankful today that you're his friend. Come on, say this with us.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. And is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me. God, he calls me friend. time are in love as we sing holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Would you lift your hands and say,
holy, 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 I want to see you.
Oh, come on, that's the presence of the Lord. Come on.
Say, holy, holy, holy. The Savior, I lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. For I don't have all in love as we sing holy, holy. Yeah, to see you, I lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. For I don't have all in love as we sing holy, holy. I want.
Would you clap your hands and give him praise? Somebody shout, my God is a glorious God. Is a wonderful God. Say it like this, a prayer answering God. If you believe it, lift up your voice and shout unto him today.
Because he's glorious. Shout it out in glory, and make it louder. Jesus, we shout so great. Jesus, we make your name.
You reign,
my God, you reign forever and ever. I'll break your name, your love remains forever and ever. You stay the same.
Come on, shout it out,
shout it out, shout it out. Shout it out, shout it out, if you know he's good, sing it out, for the Lord is
Stop us.
if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us,
come on, lift up your hands and pray. Listen to me. How many today you need a touch in your body? Would you lift your hand? I declare our God is healer. Right as we're singing this song, would you lift your hands and receive a healing in your body? We're going to sing it one more time. Well, let the mighty power of the Holy Ghost flow through you today. Remove every sickness. Remove every disease. Because He's our healer. Yeah, our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God, sing it again. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Yes, our God. Thank you.
of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. As every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. I said every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Not just Christians. Every knee will bow. That means even demons' knees will bow. Sickness knees will bow. Depression's knees will bow. Poverty's knees will bow. Hey! And every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. It shall confess you, Jesus. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. No other name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Yes, I do. My Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Can you lift your voice and say it? And Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his holy name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name. Oh, just one more time, all over this house. Say Jesus is the sweetest name.
You this morning. Thank you that you're in this place. God, I pray that you'll break down every barrier that we have, Lord, that we built in front of you. God, because we all know very simply that without you, Jesus, we can do nothing, we will be nothing. Thank you for the blood that makes us new men and new women. Thank you, Jesus, for changing our lives. Today, God, we are forever grateful for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for our sins. Lord, we love you this morning. You are the center, and your name is beautiful. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. How many of you love the Lord this morning? You know, I remember, I'm going to tell you I was bad once. I remember being in my last church, and I got a taste of real anointed music. And we had an organ at the church, and it was being played in a very old, you know, like you go to a funeral style. And so one day I walked in and no one was around. And I walked over to the organ and I pulled out a few extra wires. That Sunday, the organist, whose heart is beautiful and pure, sat down to play, and it made this god-awful noise. And I said, it sounds like it's broken. We moved it out that afternoon. But boy, I tell you, we ushered in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, the presence of God comes when music stirs. You know, what's amazing is he looks to and fro who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And you don't always need music to do that. But he's hungering for you to worship him. He longs to hear you. And you might be saying, I don't know how to worship, Pastor. You know, this is really, you know, just sitting in this service is a little uncomfortable for me. And you know, for some of you, this might be the very first time you're in this style of worship. But the one thing that you'll find is that to us, God is very much alive. You see, I see very few people go to a baseball game without getting a few extra shouts. And they're shouting for a little ball. But we come here because we love him. Jesus truly, relationally changed us. We are not the same people that we used to be. How many of you got a testimony? Jesus changed my life. See, you cannot worship quietly with no emotion. Can you imagine if every time I looked at my wife, come here, honey. We've been married 26 years. If every time I address my wife, hi, how are you? Hi. How are you? You're not going to have a relationship long. Unless you tell your wife you love her. Unless you tell your wife you love her, you have a little emotion. Hi, I love you, but I feel nothing. The ladies need to feel the love. Can I hear an amen? Come on, man. If you're smart, you'll say amen. Say amen right next to her. The ladies need to feel love. Man, you're really weak on that. You just lost out on an extra kiss. This is where you learn. And in the house of God, we sometimes forget God's not dead. He's alive. And Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. And I see a man doting on his wife right over there. Go, Brother Craig. You're no fool. He's cuddling her in close. Look at, he's cuddling her in close. And he was kissing her head. And she's all nestled in. Why would we do that with a human but never do that with God? So when you come to a church like this and you're not used to this style of worship, we're not weird. Well, we are a little weird. But, I mean, we're peculiar. Well, that's the word the Bible uses. But the reason that we raise our hands, the reason that we sing with passion, the reason why we're around the altar, the reason why we can't wait for the next song is not because we like to sing or we sing really good, but because we want him to know, thank you. Honestly, Jesus, without you, I don't know where I'd be. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved me when I was very unlovable. Thank you, Jesus, you accepted me with every one of my flaws. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved me enough not to keep me the same way. How many of you love Jesus? Can you give him a shout this morning? Can you tell him how much you love him this morning? Isn't it good to let him know, I love you, Jesus? Shout it out loud, I love you, Jesus. And by the way, he likes that. He said, if you don't do it, I'm going to have the rocks cry out. But the rocks don't need to cry out in this house. We love Jesus. I said, we love Jesus. I can't hear you. I said, we love Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. I love my God. How about you? Yeah, listen, I know, because we've been doing this for the last few weeks, getting a little excited. Turn to somebody and say, I'm excited. I thought church might be boring, but it's not. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? When the music kicks up, you don't have to worry about, am I sweating? You're going to run all over heaven just giving God all the praise he's due. Amen? Before you go back to your seat, make sure you let a few folks know, I just love my God this morning. Go find somebody you don't know and say, I love my God this morning. Come on, don't sit down. Go find somebody you don't know. I love my God. Sit down. Everybody stand up, turn around and say, good morning. You look marvelous today.
Serve is the only true and living God, and his name is Jehovah.
He left heaven, came to this earth just to die for me and just to die for you.
We need a revival of the B-I-B-L-E and people that are going to follow the truth of Jesus without shame.
What you thought that you would never flow in to an extent, the power is coming into your ministry.
When you begin to lay hands on the sick, they've got to recover, because there's the DNA of miracle power in your body. Hallelujah. For your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
The Shuttlesworths have been doing this for generations, and they are known from all around the world. And now, they are coming to you.
Join us for the Rock the City Revival.
September 13th through the 17th at Grove Street Park from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Join us and get ready for a revival.
Amen. You don't want to miss that. Turn to someone and say, you don't want to miss Rock the City. We just came down from, and I mean came down from, we just came down from the uproar, the youth conference. This place was stacked. I'm talking stacked with teenagers. They were, I'm talking not only at night services, the day services were stacked. It was amazing. The greatest youth convention we've had to date, without question. And man, the power of God was so evident. We just want to show you a quick clip from last night, the last night of praise. It was pretty amazing. We have that coming. Here it comes. It's going to be here. There we go. Watch this. Maybe. Look at all those teenagers just worshiping the Lord. You know it's God when Pastor Cody starts moving. Glory. Last night we ended up praying for all the teenagers. The power of God was so strong, the teenagers were literally lined up all the way around the sanctuary, all the way out through the foyer, all the way outside to the tent. They were lined up waiting to get the hands of God, the hands laid on them so that God could touch their life. It was such an amazing evening. And I just want you to know, today we're expecting the same thing. How many of you want God to change your life today? Amen. We believe in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, not just nice little words or nice little church. We believe that God has to show up or we've all wasted our time. Amen. Today, I just want to tell you a few things, and one of them is a little bit heavy, but I believe that we can glean a lot from it. How many of you know that we are regional changers in this house? Listen, we're not just a church. We are the regional power of God being released in this region to change it and to take back what the devil has stolen. We need to. I want you to know how powerful you are. Turn to someone and say, thank God for you. See, this house, whether many people recognize it or not, some do, some don't, but every week we bus in right around 200 children. We let them know how much God loves them. We invest in them. We speak into their lives. And I want you to know that doesn't come at a small cost. During the summertime, that's right around $2,000 a week. And during the regular year, it's at least $1,000 a week ministering to these young people, letting them know how much God loves them. And this, what you were seeing last night, that big video with them dancing all over the folks, was the evidence of God touching them. But last night, there was a travesty. And that was two of the young men that were coming even on Wednesday nights. One was a little bit more consistent than the other. But one young man shot himself on accident last night, and he's now in heaven. And the other young man is in critical condition. And we want to pray for their families this morning, because their family is our family. You might not have ever met them, but these children were coming here. You see, if we've never realized how important we are right now to this region, government is not going to touch this generation. School is not going to touch this generation. Religion is not going to touch this generation. There must be a revival of the Spirit of the living God in this region. And I thank the Lord that you are leading the charge as we are going into the very communities and letting them know that God is good and not bad. I was talking to Minister Palco, and she let me know that the young man who went on, he had actually already accepted Jesus as his Savior. So thank the Lord. But it doesn't change the wounds of the hearts of the family. I can't even fathom losing a child, especially in that dimension. And we want to pray for those families right now. Is that possible? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these two families, God, that are dealing with great loss this morning. They are our family, God, because these children know you as their Savior. We pray in the name of Jesus that right now you will saturate their families with a peace that passes all understanding, that they will feel the very presence of God. Lord, those that are not saved, that God will have a voice to tell them that Jesus Christ saved them, Lord, for eternity, and that, Lord, today they need you as their Savior. Lord, we just pray that you'll bring peace to their life. Lord, we know the devil's mean and foul and disgusting, Lord, as he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, you came to give life and life more abundant. So we, God, speak life right now, Lord, to this situation. Lord, even in the midst of the turmoil and the wounds, we know that Jesus, when you show up, you do supernatural things. Lord, I thank you for this congregation who loves people beyond themselves. Lord, it's not about them just getting through in life. It's not about self-saturation, but Lord, it's about us reaching the lost for Jesus at any cost. And thank you, Lord. This proves, God, one thing, and that is we're making a difference, Lord, for they had once confessed you and declared you as Lord. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. We bless right now, Lord, Minister Palco's team, who every Wednesday night, Lord, ministers to these young people. I pray for the bus drivers who bus them in, God. Bless them, Jesus. Lord, we pray right now for Matthew 25, who feeds them, Lord Jesus, and clothes them. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, Lord, for even the people in this room that sow on a consistent basis to see lives transformed for the glory of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, thank you. Thank you. Come on, tell somebody, thank you. Thank you. You're making a difference.
These are those that have turned the world upside down. That's all of you. If I could have Pastor Cody and Mindy and Mackenzie come up real quickly. Run, run, run. Kenz, run, 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 run. If you volunteered at the Uproar this past week, could you stand to your feet real quick so we can say thank you? Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lives were changed and transformed and will never be the same again. Thank you. Thank you all to all those that gave. Thank you so much. We just want to recognize, first of all, the pastor that God gave the vision to. He said, don't touch me. He said he didn't do anything. He just showed up. God birthed the vision, and it took faith to make it happen. And we just want to recognize Mackenzie Coe, because she worked all year long, very hard, endlessly, to make this happen, to sow into the thousands of lives. Thank you, Kenzie. These are those that have turned the world upside down. Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow. So as we enter in, as we're actually already into the time of tithes and offerings, I want to share a scripture with you. And it was when Moses had imposed, it says he has imposed a collection for the people of God to bring their tithes and offerings into the house of God. And this is 2 Chronicles 24, verse 9 and verse 10. And I want to read in verse 10. And it said, then all the leaders and all of the people rejoiced. They rejoiced when Moses imposed a collection of tithes and offerings on the house. And you want to know why? Because these are those that have turned the world upside down. And when you tithe and you bring your offering, that there is enough for every good work in God's house. So this morning, we get to rejoice when we give our tithes and offerings because we know we are giving it to turn this region upside down. We know that our finances are being used to make a difference and to glorify God, and lives are being changed. So this morning, as I don't think you're as excited as I am about giving. I mean, I got to witness those young people so marked by the power of God last night. They will never be the same. So let's get excited. Let's rejoice at our collection this morning for the house of God. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the promise from the Word of God found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it says, if you'll repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Now come on and rejoice as you bring your tithe and offering to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Blessed, then I'm blessed. If Jesus said I'm blessed, then I'm blessed. Yeah, yeah.
Praise the Lord. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If you're a first-time guest, we're not going to make you stand up or embarrass you. But if you're a first-time guest this morning, we have a gift for you. If you're a first-time guest, could you raise your hand? We don't want to do this, Pastor Dan. Now, if you're a first-time guest, very good. Young man over on this side. Where's Pastor Daniel? There we go. We got a young man over on this side. It's a guest. Raise your hand there, sir, again. There you go. Right up on this side. Very good. Front row. Hey, folks, how are you? Howard, you're not getting anything, so keep your hand down. We love you. Gentleman over on this side as well. He's had his hand up the longest. Here we go. Very good. Right. Lift your hand. There we go, sir. We got it. Oh, look at the whole row. Hey, folks, how are you? Hey, honey. When do you guys go back? You go back today? You had to tap in the anointed in the house. Hallelujah. We have a gentleman right there. We don't want to miss him as well. Come on. Very good. We have another gentleman right over here. Very good. Wow. Can we welcome all of our guests this morning? Thank you so much for being here. We do encourage you to come three times. Everybody shout three. Why three? Because the first time you might be in a tad bit of shock. Second time you calm down a little bit. By the third time, you'll never go back to the quiet church again. We promise. Because we're just getting you ready for heaven. How many of you know heaven's not going to be quiet? Amen. We're going to be excited about being in heaven. I can't wait to see Jesus. He is an awesome God. We are so blessed today to have Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. I love Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. You know, next week, I'm more excited. I'm sorry, Brother Ted, but I just have to say this. I get to preach after 3 weeks next week. Pastor Cody preached the first week. Brother Rick Shelton preached last week. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth preaching this week. And glory to God, I get to preach behind the pulpit again next week. I am so excited. But this week, I don't want you to miss one morsel. Man, this man of God, he has such richness in the Spirit. And the power of God follows his ministry. You do not want to sit there and let your mind wander. You want to tether yourself right in and make sure you grab every word. Why? Because the word of God will change your life this morning. Amen? Say it out loud with me. Dear Jesus, I open my heart. Let the word fall on good ground. I want to harvest from the word of God today. 30, 60, 100-fold, I make my heart ready to receive the living word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's welcome Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, Jr.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm excited, aren't you? God's been moving. I'm so happy what God's been doing with these young people all week. It's amazing to see this kind of a Holy Ghost move. And see, this is what's needed. I told them in the first service, this is what we need. We need a Holy Ghost move among the young people. We don't just need another video, another light show, another song. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost will make the change. You know, what do you do when you get a report that can't be changed by natural strength? A human video is not going to help you. A light show is not going to help you. Huh? Some smoke's not going to help you. But the power of the Holy Ghost will change things around. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And I wanted to share something with you today. It's going to bless you. And this is something that if you were in the first service, this is not what I preached in the first service. God gave me something different. But I'm going to share this with you because I believe in the time we're living in, we are depending on the anointing of the Holy Ghost more than ever before. Every time we turn on the television, there seems to be another report of an attack or something, some issue that's going on in the world. Violence is all around us. In fact, last night I preached to the young people about the two main signs that Jesus is getting ready to come back according to Christ in Luke 17. Number one, it would be like the days of Noah. The world would be filled with violence. That's today. And then they said it would be like the days of Lot. And that was the world would be filled with sexual perversion. That's today. And so we know we're right in the final moments of time. Jesus is getting ready to come back. But the Bible says where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And so I want to encourage you today that no matter the attacks you're seeing on the news, no matter what you see going on around the world, the power of God is greater than any attack. Amen. And we just released a brand new book called Blood on the Door, The Protective Power of Covenant. And that book is dealing with how, even though there's evil things going on around the world, you do not have to die in a terrorist attack. You don't have to find your children dead in a car crash or a plane crash. Your family will not be mugged in an alley somewhere and stuffed in a dumpster. You won't get a call from the police to come identify your child in a crack house somewhere because they overdosed. The protective power of your covenant with God can keep you free from every attack of the enemy. Can you shout amen? You want to hear something interesting? I have a cousin back in West Virginia. He's much older than I am. His name is Randy Shuttlesworth, and he was out hunting one time. Any hunters in the house? Any deer hunters? He was out hunting one time, and they were not deer hunting, but they were actually out squirrel hunting. And so he's out in the woods squirrel hunting, and there he is. And he always carried around a pocket New Testament, and he always kept it in the breast pocket of his shirt. And he had that thing all around. All of a sudden, they're out hunting squirrel in the woods, and this drunk guy is out there just stumbling through the woods with his .22 and out there and sees him over there and just imagine. I mean, I don't know if he thought it was the biggest squirrel in the world or what happened, but he took aim and shot a drunken shot, and the bullet came and struck my cousin right in the heart. And when he pulled that pocket New Testament out of his shirt, there was the .22 bullet in the Bible. I mean, the Word of God literally protected his life. God has a way of protecting you. I said, God's got a way of protecting you. I remember hearing Brother Shambach tell a story about how he was driving home real late from a meeting one time. And back then, Brother Shambach, he always drove those big Lincolns. You remember back when the Lincolns were a boat? You know, they were all metal. There was no fiberglass anywhere on that thing. Those cars were heavy. And so he was going full blast one night on his way back, middle of the night. He said he was on this old country road, and he said he came up on a one-lane bridge. And as he was driving full blast, on the other side was coming a Mack truck. And he said he had thought that that guy gave him the right of way to come across the bridge first. So he never even touched the brakes. But he said, when I got on the bridge, I realized that the Mack truck had also got on the bridge on the other side, barreling down. He said, I didn't have time to slow that heavy, big old car down. He said, we were now just seconds away from eternity. He said, I didn't know what to do. You know, there's times when you don't have time to pull out the 7 best scriptures on protection and begin to confess them over your life. You know, you can't flip through the Word and find. No, there's not a moment for that. And so he said, I just closed my eyes and I shouted, Jesus. He said, and when I opened my eyes, I was crossing the other side of the bridge, and the truck, I looked in the rearview, was crossing behind me. He said, I don't know what happened, but God supernaturally widened the bridge. Hallelujah. God will protect you. God will protect you. But it comes. See, this touch from the Holy Ghost comes because you have made a place for the anointing in your life. When you make a place for the anointing, then there's somewhere for God to move and dwell with your family. See, that's why I don't understand. Many people, they, you know, if you've ever seen how the Navy builds submarines and ships, they build them with compartments underneath. I don't know if you knew that, but they build them that way so that if there was ever a breach in the hull, if something ever hit it and water began to rush into the submarine or rush into the boat, they can close the hatches of that compartment and lock it up, and the water will not go to any of the parts of the ship, and it can stay afloat. And I don't understand why many people do that with the anointing of God in their life. They compartmentalize the anointing to Sunday. And they say, don't touch me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Those are my compartments, God. You just stick to your compartment on Sunday. And so that's the only time they want to hear his voice. That's the only time when they want to look at his word. That's the only time they want to feel his presence. But when you compartmentalize him and say, God, you're sticking here on Sunday, then you're on your own Monday through Saturday. You are now responsible for your own protection Monday through Saturday. But when you make a place in your home, see, church is one thing. We come here to get empowered and fed. But we take what we receive here and we bring it back to our home. And we make a place in the home for the Holy Spirit to dwell. And when we do, something supernatural takes place in our home.
You can get, did you know you can get to the place where your pastor doesn't have to come visit you and lay hands on you? You can get to the place where you don't need a prayer cloth to be sent or oil to be slopped over your head. You can get to the place where you can get out of bed in the morning, lay hands on your own head, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells in you will quicken your mortal body. But it only comes because we've made a place in our home for the Holy Ghost to move. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a story of a woman and her husband. And she was a wealthy woman, the Bible says. And every time the prophet Elisha would come through town, the Bible says they would invite him to their house. And she'd cook up a meal and she'd feed the prophet of God. It's a dangerous thing to feed the man of God good, because he don't stop coming back. You notice I've been here every year. They feed me good. Amen. You've got generous, great pastors in this house. Amen. That's something you should never take for granted. The move of the Holy Spirit that's going on in this house and in these conferences, that's something you should never take for granted. Because I can tell you firsthand, this ain't happening everywhere. There's a lot of places, it is so dry, their church needs lotion. They got an ashy church. It's all ashy. Everybody's ashy. So dead. I heard my dad say one time, he said, I was in a church that was so dead, somebody in the third row had a heart attack and died, and the paramedics came in, had to empty half the church before they found the dead person. Just dead. But that's not what's going on here. There's life in this house. I said there's life in this house. It's because we've made a place for the anointing to dwell. Can you say amen? That's what this woman did. Bible said she was a wealthy woman, and her husband was there with her. And every time the prophet Elisha would come through town, they would prepare a meal and invite him to come and to be a part, a guest at their home. They valued the man of God. They valued the anointing of God. And the Bible says that one day she had had him over so often that she just said to her husband, you know what we ought to do? Let's build a place on top of our house. Let me read it to you. It's 2 Kings 4 and verse 10. The Bible says, she said to her husband, let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him, the prophet, a bed. Everybody say a bed. A table, say a table. A chair, say a chair. And a lamp, say a lamp. So that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. I did some study on this, and you know what you find? They built him an apartment on top of their house. And if you read some commentaries, they would even suggest that he even had outside access to their house so that he didn't have to come through their house to go to where he was staying. He could come and go as he pleased. They made for him a place to stay. Why did they do it? Because they valued the anointing that was on his life and on his ministry. What did they just do? She sowed a seed into his ministry. You know what's interesting is that the Bible says that when she said those things, we don't have any record of a response from her husband. That shows she probably ruled the house. You don't see her husband saying, well, you know, we do have a few bills coming up. The Bible says she said the stuff, and next thing you know, it was built. That's like many houses today. I mean, when mama speaks, it gets done. Amen. And so she said, let's build a place, let's build a room, let's build an apartment, and let's furnish it. And she did. When the prophet heard what she had done for him, he said to his servant, what can we do for her? I want you to get this today. The Spirit of God is always wondering, what can I do for you? He's always wanting to touch you. He's always wanting to provide for you. Do you know the first thing that Jesus asked in John chapter 6 when he saw a multitude of men and women following him out into the countryside and they wanted to see his miracles and hear his teaching? Do you know what he said? He turned and asked Philip, where can we buy bread to feed them? That's the first question. You know what he didn't ask? Are they tithers? Are they faithful? Have they signed up for our mailing list? Do they get our magazine? Are they partners? He just said, where can we get bread to feed them? The Holy Spirit's always looking for an opportunity to touch you. Always looking for an opportunity to bless you. always looking for an opportunity to heal you. And that's what happened in this story. The prophet said, what can we do for her? Now, she was already wealthy, so she didn't need money. She was already influential, so he couldn't even put a good word in for her with the government. She didn't need that. But the servant said to him, she said, she cannot bear any children. She cannot have a child. So watch this. Something had come into her life and cut off her production. There was no way for her to produce the way God called her to produce. That is an attack from the enemy, because you know the very first thing God commanded humans on the earth was be fruitful and multiply. God has called every one of us to increase, to be fruitful, and to multiply in every area of our life. And when that is cut off, that is a demonic attack to stop us from obeying the first command of God that he ever gave to us. We are designed to multiply, not just in the natural, in the supernatural. We are designed to increase, not just in the natural, in the supernatural. You know, I don't have to get up and preach hard against homosexuality. I don't have to get up and take you through passages in the New Testament and show you why it's wrong. You know, I can just stand up and say, you know why? The first thing God ever said was, be fruitful and multiply. And if that union was really of God, they would have an ability to be fruitful and multiply. It's not a great theological debate. It's very simple. If you can't do the simple things God said, then it's not where God wants you to be. And so you have to see here that she could not produce the way she was anointed to produce. And so the prophet said, oh, there it is. And he came and gave her a word. And the Bible says that he said, next year at this time, you will be holding your child in your hand. She almost thought it was too good to be true. She said, oh, don't get my hopes up. Don't play with me. He said, no, I'm telling you, by this time next year. Everybody say, by this time next year. Say it again, by this time next year. Cody, stand up and lift your hands, and by this time next year, it's going to be a fruitful increase and a multiplication. By this time next year. 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 Fruitful multiplication comes. He said, by this time next year, you'll hold it in your hand. And she believed the word, received the word, and the Bible says for the first time in her life, gave birth to a baby. It was a son. And one day, he was out in the field working. And the Bible said he began to cry out, my head, my head. And he keeled over dead. And the very seed that became her harvest died in her hands. Died in her hands. I want to show you something interesting. This is where I'm going today. She had already made a place in her home for the anointing to dwell. So when her harvest died in her hands, you'll notice she didn't run the boy down to where the prophet was. See this. The Bible says she took him and brought him back to the house, walked up the steps, and put the boy in the place she had built for the anointing. Woo! And then she went to get the prophet by herself. And the Bible says that she put the boy on the bed of the prophet and left him to sit there and marinate in the anointing of God. Now, I want to show you four things that she did in that room. And I was praying about this, and God spoke to me, and he said, the four things she did are symbolic. And the four things that she did are the four things that are inside the anointing that's in your house. Everybody say, it's in my house. The first thing she did, according to the word, the Bible says she built for him an apartment and then furnished it with, number one, a bed. Everybody say, a bed. That should show you right off the bat that inside the anointing there's divine rest. For the Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse 2 that God gives his beloved rest. And so if you're going through life worried and anxious with panic attacks and issues, and you can't seem to get free in your mind, and you're always in turmoil, and your relationships are tore up, and everything in your house is always in distress, then the anointing needs to be built in your house. And the moment that it comes in, every evil thing that's attacking your rest has to run out the back door in the mighty name of Jesus. You don't need a pill. You don't need a prescription. You don't need to drink something at night. You don't even need a warm glass of milk with cinnamon sprinkled on top. What you need is to make a place in your home for the anointing of God. And every evil thing that disturbs your rest must go. Somebody shout it, must go. Bible says that she furnished it with a bed. The next thing is, the Bible says she furnished it with a table. And a table is representative. You got to get this. This stirred me up when I saw this. The Bible says that a table is representative of receiving the blessings of God. For in Psalm 23 and verse 5, God said, I will prepare for you a table in the presence of your enemies, and your cup will run over. That's powerful right there. I like that, because did you ever get this? That God didn't prepare the table for you and your enemies. He just said, I'm preparing it in the presence of your enemies, which means that your enemies have to be there, but they can't sit down at the table with you. So all the ones that mocked you, all the ones that said you were foolish for being Pentecostal, all the ones that laughed at you when you were tithing, all the ones that didn't believe in the faith that you kept speaking, that don't believe miracles exist anymore, that try to come against the move of the Holy Ghost, God said, let them mock you. Let them be your enemy. Let them come against the move of God. Because what's going to happen is, just like in old Egypt and Exodus, I'm going to draw a line in the sand and show you the difference between my people and the world's people. And I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and they'll have to sit there and watch you enjoy a meal that I've prepared for you. And your cup will run over. The second thing that's in the anointing is the mighty provision of God, the mighty blessing of God. He said, number three, put in there for him a chair. The seated position in the Word of God represents authority. That we've been raised in what? Seated. Raised in what? Seated. In heavenly places. With Christ. You know the first thing Jesus did when he got to heaven? Sat down. At the Father's right hand. He got raised up. He ascended into heaven. He was talking to his disciples. All of a sudden, gravity couldn't hold him down anymore. And he began to ascend into heaven. And they all stood there gazing into heaven. And angels showed up and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into heaven? This same Jesus that you saw leave is coming back again in like manner. And when he got into his Father's house, when he walked through the pearly gates, he didn't stop to get a burger and fries. He didn't high-five an angel. He didn't sing a song on the piano. He walked right over to his seat next to his Father and sat down as if to say, it is finished. Hey, hallelujah. The third thing that's in the anointing is the mighty authority of God. The authority is greater than your attack. The authority is greater than the devil's harassment against your life. The authority that you have in your house is greater than any evil spirit that would try to break in. Let the devil huff and puff, but he can't blow your house down. See, what you need to realize is, the Bible says, if anybody's going to overtake or overpower the house of a strong man, they first have to bind up the strong man. Because if you know that tonight, someone's coming to your house to take your flat screen, you'll be waiting with your shotgun. Please come in my house. See what happens. When my wife, see, my wife's very intelligent. When she bought me my shotgun for my birthday, she got me a Benelli Supernova. Hallelujah. That's a Holy Ghost woman that'll get you a Benelli shotgun. I mean, that's Proverbs 31 all the way. He that findeth a wife. God should have put something in there about Benelli shotguns.
And she bought me that. I was very specific. I said, I know the kind I want. I want a pump shotgun. I like a pump shotgun. You know why? Because if anybody's in my house, they say the number one sound that an intruder doesn't want to hear is the dog barking. They don't want to hear the dog barking. But I can tell you one that I may not want to hear more than the dog, and that's there's a sound. And let me just tell you, the intruder may not see me. He may not know where I am. It might be a dark house. But the moment he hears the sound, he starts to realize there's a power getting ready to hit my chest that's greater than my chest tissue, that's greater than my ribs' ability to withstand it, that's greater than the organs in my body. Brother Ted, are you saying that you'd shoot someone right in the chest? I can't imagine there are, but if there's any anti-gun people in the house, read that passage of Scripture where Jesus said, sell all you have and buy a sword. That was the weapon of the day. Jesus was also part of the NRA. Amen. If you got turned off by that, I'll get you back in. Just stick with me for 5 more minutes. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the authority that comes into your house, when you get the anointing there, it causes every evil thing that used to be able to just creep in and harass you. It has to go in Jesus' name. Has to go. I told the story in the first service, if you were here, about a wonderful woman of God, Dodie Osteen. That's Joel Osteen's mother. And back maybe 40 years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. Doctors told her that she would not survive that. Her husband, who was fit as a fiddle, little John Osteen, he was a man of faith and power. He actually, because she got healed, he actually went home to be with Jesus, and she's still alive today. So what did she do? She went and made a place in her home for the anointing. And she put the word on 24/7. I told him back then they had cassette tapes, and that's all they had. And so they used to just put the cassette tape in, and you were a high roller if you had one of those machines that could flip the tape for you. You didn't have to do it. And so she had that, and just 24/7, the word of God was played in her room. And as that word, see, she was in a place with the anointing dwelling in her room. And when that word came out, just like Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word, and it healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. The Bible says that power, it does what God sends it to do. Never comes back empty or void. It came out of her tape player, went into her body, and destroyed every cancer cell. And though she should have been dead probably 40 years ago, she's 90-something years old this morning in Houston, Texas, sitting on the front row of church, lifting her hands and praising God. And when she had her 90th birthday, they had her on Christian television to do an interview. They brought her on Daystar Network, and Marcus Lamb interviewed her on TV and had her give her testimony that all those years ago they told her that she was going to die of cancer. And she gave the testimony, I'm still alive, I'm 90 years old today. And he thought he was going to be funny, you know, with her. He said, well, Dodie, I want to just tell you that 10 years from now, when you turn 100, we want to have you back on the show to give the testimony again. She looked at him just as serious and said, if you're still alive, I'll come. What's the difference? She had made a place in her home for the anointing to dwell. And that place produced an authority that was greater than cancer in her body. There's an authority that's greater than disease. There's an authority that's greater than financial poverty. There's an authority that is greater than depression and anxiety. It's greater than medication. It's greater than surgery. It's greater than therapy. You don't need a psychiatrist. You need the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. I was blown away to see how many people are seeking psychiatric help, even in the Christian world. I want to tell you, you've got a comforter from heaven who's been sent by Jesus Christ to comfort your mind and to give you peace. You don't need an antidepressant to pop every morning. Some people need a pill to wake up, a pill to get through the day, and a pill to go to sleep at night. But I want to tell you that there's an anointing in your house that is greater than any attack of the enemy. I'm telling you,
you, you can tap into this thing. And the power of God will flow through your body. It'll flow through your children. It'll flow through your grandchildren. It'll flow through your lineage. And by the time you're old and gray, if Jesus tarries, you can look through at a legacy you've built by the anointing of the Holy Ghost and see, look what God has done. Number three, a chair. That means he's seated in authority. And the fourth thing that's in the anointing, very important. She said, let's furnish for him with a lamp. The lamp is representative, or any kind of a light, of the revelation of God's word. When you get into the anointing, you start seeing things in the word you've never seen. And the reason this is so vital is because you can only fly as high as the revelation of God's word that you have. For the Bible says in John 8:32, you'll know the truth, and it's only the truth that you know that will make you free. That's why you can go to some churches this morning, and they'll preach all day long, salvation, salvation, salvation. They'll tell you he's a savior, but they don't believe he's a healer, and they don't believe he's a provider. So as a result of that, they live in salvation, and many of them are sick, and many of them are poor. Because until you get revelation that God is more than just a savior, that Jesus is also a healer. See, there's a lot of Christians today, they're on their way to heaven, but they're going to get there a lot sooner than they should, because they don't have a revelation that he's a healer. But when you step into that mighty revelation, you can now walk at a higher plane than you did before, because the word lifts you up and sets you head and shoulders above the rest. Do you know why Jesus walked through this earth and was never sick a day in his life? Was not poor a day in his life? People say, well, Jesus was poor. If you think Jesus was poor, go to my YouTube channel and watch the video entitled, Was Jesus Poor? I will show you from the Word of God how it would have been impossible for Jesus to be a poor man. Poverty is listed in the Bible as a curse. And unless you're telling me that the Son of God lived his life under a curse through his whole life, you can't believe Jesus was poor. Jesus was a tither. Jesus was a giver. Jesus was a good steward. Jesus was obedient to his purpose. He was the radiant image of the will of God on the earth. It was impossible for Jesus to live under a curse of any kind. Can anybody find the passage in the Bible where Jesus said to his disciples, I've been speaking a lot lately and I have bronchitis. Could you just lay hands on me? Peter, James, John, somebody just lay hands on me. I've been just really battling this week. Come on. Jesus wasn't cursed. Jesus was blessed. I said he was blessed. You know why? Watch. He was the Word. John chapter 1 says he was the Word made flesh. So the reason he was able to operate at such a high level is because he was the embodiment of the freedom of the Word. He was our representation. God said, here's your example. You can fly this high. Let me take it a step further. Do you know that when Jesus was out on the water and the disciples got into trouble because the great storm had arose on the ocean, and the Bible says Jesus wasn't even with them, he was out somewhere else, and they're out there thinking they're going to die, and here he comes walking on the water. Can I tell you something? Jesus walks on what others consider trouble. And he's walking. Here he comes. They don't even recognize him. And he begins to tell them, be calm. I'm here to help you. And Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus looked at him and said, come. Now, I want to just submit a thought to you today, and I want you to see if this bears witness with your spirit. I personally do not believe that Peter walked on the water. The Bible says he threw his leg over the boat and stepped out and began to walk towards Jesus. I tell you that Peter was walking on the word of Jesus. That Peter stepped out. He didn't step and walk on any water until Jesus said, come. And when Jesus gave a word to him, he just empowered him to do something that nobody else could do. See, when a word comes to your life, it empowers you to do what you normally could not do. You can lay hands on the sick and they can recover. You can eat or drink any deadly thing and it will not harm you. Because when a word comes, the word empowers you.
And in the anointing is the mighty revelation of God's word. The more you get, the higher you can fly in the Holy Ghost. And so she takes her son, I'm closing with this. She takes her son and brings him back to that place of the anointing and lays him out on the bed. Oh, this, I feel the Holy Ghost here. She took her harvest and brought it back inside her original seed. If you've never seen this, the seed was not something the prophet had done. The seed was something she had done by faith. She took her son back to her place of obedience. Because she didn't just think of it herself. The Holy Ghost led her to do that. Nobody in their carnal mind says, hey, let me just build an extra whole apartment on my house for the pastor to come stay in if he ever comes through my town. The Holy Ghost leads you to do stuff like that. Amen. Most people buy cereal that's 30 cents cheaper than the other brand, and that's where most people are at. If you think people are going to spend another $100,000 to build onto their house just so Pastor Spencer can sleep over once a week, let me tell you something. Most people are not like that. It's the Holy Ghost that leads you to take these steps of faith. And God led her to do it. And the Bible says that when an issue hit her life, she brought that issue back to her place of obedience. For obedience opens up the mighty windows of heaven. And God then starts to pour out blessings that you don't have room enough to contain. If you think your issue is bad, if you think what you're dealing with is bad, let me ask you a question. Are you dead? Because if you're not dead, your issue is not as bad as this woman's issue was. Her issue was completely dead. I've had people come to the altar and say, Brother Ted, if I know you just prayed for everyone, but if I could have special prayer. I don't know how to tell you this. It's not going to get any more special than what I just did. Amen. And because here's what they want. They really want to read me their diagnosis. They want to explain what the doctor said. As if I care. Because I'm not the healer anyway. You can explain all day. I don't understand medical terms. I don't know what a hematoma, I don't know any of that stuff is. You know, I don't have no idea. If you explain it in detail, my prayer is still going to be the same. Amen. Understand that? That when you get to the place, I mean, it's true. People want to tell you all the things. What I want to tell people is, oh, you have high blood pressure? Oh, you have diabetes? Are you dead? Because let me tell you something. Jesus had no blood pressure. He was dead. Jesus laid in the tomb with zero blood pressure. Heart wasn't beating. He had heart problems. He was fully paralyzed. Couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't move. Are you hearing me? He was blind. His eyes couldn't see. He was deaf. His ears couldn't hear. Jesus had every issue anybody could have ever had. Dead in a tomb. But the Bible says, then the mighty Holy Ghost floated into the tomb and began to hover over his body. And the Bible says it shook it back to life. So no matter what the issue is that you're facing, I love how Jesus rolled because he didn't even need a full 3 days according to the Bible. He said, after 3 days, I'll raise him up. But the Bible says he died on the evening of the first day. And when they ran to the tomb, it was the early morning of the third day and he was already gone. Hallelujah. He knew how he was going to be. That's why he didn't even need to spend the money to buy a tomb. He just borrowed one. He just went on to Airbnb and rented himself a little place and said, I'm going to stay here for a few days, but by the time I get back, you won't even know where I went. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost came in and shook him back to life. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and will quicken. The story ends like this. The prophet comes back into her place of obedience. And that anointing. See, please get this. Your place of obedience attracts the power of God. Did you ever notice the prophet wasn't going to everybody's house? He was coming to her house. Wasn't going to everybody's house. The anointing's not in everybody's house because everybody doesn't want to be obedient to the word. I know that's not the shouting point in the sermon. Three people just checked their watch. Listen, you got to realize
It is the obedience. See, that's the problem I have with a greasy grace message, is because God's not so stupid that he blesses the disobedient with the obedient. Thanks for all the shouts. Hallelujah. But when you step into your place of obedience and the anointing of the word explodes in your house, no matter what the issue is, no matter what the problem is, it will be resurrected by the power of God. Resurrected by the power of God. If the musicians could come back, I'm getting ready to minister to you for a moment. But I'm telling you, get ready for whatever has tried to come against your family, whatever's tried to attack your physical body, whatever's tried to come against your mind. Let me encourage you today. There's an anointing in this house to resurrect what God originally created in you. God created in you a peaceful mind. He created in you a healthy body. He created in you a blessed supernatural being. And whatever it is that the enemy sent to destroy you, it is destroyed today by the power of the Holy Ghost. I said it's destroyed today. Kayla, stand on your feet one more time. I'm telling you, this is just the completion of what God did in that first service. But a mighty anointing is coming on you today. Mighty anointing. I'm telling you, this is just an addition to what I told you in the first service. The month of August for you is going to be a month of divine visitation from the Holy Ghost. And you're going to begin to have experiences, even in your own private time, in the word and in prayer. And it's going to be such a refreshing thing. The mighty Holy Spirit is coming in and reinvigorating every part of your being. You'll feel like, I mean, it's almost like that feeling when you first get saved. Everything's like brighter. You jump off. That reinvigorating of the Holy Ghost is coming upon you. And I'll tell you, the joy of the Lord like you've never even seen is getting ready to burst forth in your life. Fresh anointing of God. Flow into her today. Flow into her today. Fresh anointing of God. Shh. Flow into her today. Mighty anointing of God is here. Just lift your hands, would you, for one moment before we close this service. Before we do anything else. That team that's getting ready to go back to the church, to your home church, that you needed to get into the anointing of the house. The team that was sitting back in the middle. The group that was at Uproar. Get out of your seats and come down to the altar. All of you. Come quick. Jesus. Just lift your hands. Fresh anointing comes in every one of you today. Amen. Hallelujah. A fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. Just stay in that for 1 minute. I'm going to lay my hands on you. God's going to touch you. Whew. Hallelujah. Stay on your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord. Here it is. Fresh anointing. Fresh fire. Power of the Holy Ghost come upon her today. Fill her fresh. Fill her new. Every roadblock removed. Every hindrance removed. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her today. That's it. Don't be trying to take her blessing. That's hers. Here's yours. Fire of God come upon her today in Jesus' name. God's going to use you, young men. Young men. The anointing of God's coming on you to work the works of God. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says. There's a great destiny on your lives. Live for him. Stand up for him. Fire of God come upon him today. Stand up for him. Power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost. Receive a fresh power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Step up, Alex. Lift your hands to the Lord. Fresh anointing comes on you today. The Lord touched you last year at Uproar. This is a fresh touch from heaven. Fresh touch from God. A refilling of the Holy Ghost. Filled with the power of the Holy Ghost today. I command you to receive an impartation of the Holy Ghost. A fresh anointing from heaven. In Jesus' name. For there's a desire in your heart.
there's a longing for the things of God in your spirit. God's calling your name. He's calling your name. His anointing is on your life to work the works of God. Seek His face. Pray. Read the Bible. Go and be faithful to the house of God. God's calling you from a young age to work the works of God. And He will use you. And you'll be able to do things you never imagined, but that you always desired. For He put those desires in your heart. For the Lord, the Bible says that God gives us the desires of our heart. So receive a fresh anointing today by the power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost. Put your hands one more moment. I'm telling you, the anointing's here. Mighty anointing is here. Holy. Are you all from this team too, or are you just ushers? Oh, okay. Very, very helpful. Thank you. Just lift your hands in that anointing. Let God touch you. Let God touch you. Jesus. Jesus. Everybody stand on your feet if you would. I'm getting ready to close. But I want you to bow your head all over this place. You hear me? The reason I do this, I never go home. My family and I stay on the road is because there's an urgency in my spirit. Jesus said, work while it's yet day. The night is coming where no man can work. Everybody say, night is coming. It's coming very quickly. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you listen to me very carefully. If there's even one person in this church today and you know that there's something in your life that's holding you back from serving the Most High God, you know that if Jesus were to come back today, you're not ready to see Him. There's something holding you back. There's an issue. There's a problem. And you can't seem to get free. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He's not in heaven judging you. He shed His blood for you to call you into His kingdom. And if you're in here today and you say, that's me, I can tell you, I know it. If Jesus came back, I'm not ready to see Him. Don't leave this church without knowing. The Bible says these things are written that you can know that you have eternal life. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, that's me, I want to pray. I want to pray with you today, and I want to know I'm ready to see Jesus. Wherever you are all over this house, if you want to pray that prayer, lift your hand and hold it high right where you're sitting, standing. I see you there. I see you there, 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 there. Who else? Don't miss your moment. There. Over there. I see it. Who else? Jesus is calling. Don't decline the call. Answer the call. Is there anybody else? Lift your hand, hold it high. Let people know. Let Jesus know. Let the angels know. Let the Heavenly Father know. You mean business. Take one more step of faith. If you raised your hand, quickly get out of your seat and come stand with me at God's altar. Come quick, 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 quick. Come on, come on, come on. Just take a few steps back if you would. If you raised your hand, come quick, 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 quick. Don't wait for somebody else. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love You. Come on in. Jesus, we love You. You're so wonderful. All things will be made new today. Second thing, number two. If you need to get down here, now's the time to come. Don't wait. Don't wait another moment. Get out of your seat. Move, move, move. Second thing is this. Everybody, if you would, just take one more step in, because I'm getting ready to call some more people down. The second thing is this. If the enemy has been harassing your production, your multiplication, your increase, like I preached about today. He's called you. God's called you to increase, to produce, but there's something in your life that keeps harassing you, whether it be against your body physically, against your mind, against your relationships, against your peace, even your finances. It's harassing your life, and you're ready to be free and that thing to be lifted off of your life. I want you to get out of your seat and come stand behind these that are going to receive a new beginning today. Stand right behind them. Stand behind them. Because God's going to touch us all today. If you need to come. Now, those of you that are standing here with me here at the front, I love you. Things are getting ready to change for the better. I said things are getting ready to change for the better. Do you know that's what the word prosperity really means? Change for the better. Lift your hands. The anointing's on you. The anointing of God. You know, I'll tell you, the Lord has spoken to you many times. He's spoken about your purpose. He's given you vision of what you're called to do. But it's been frustrating you because you feel like the Apostle Paul said, that there's a war in my members. I want to do what God's called me to do, but there's always something in me that just declines to do it. But I tell you, from this day forward, you're going to do it with power. You're going to do it with authority. You're going to do it with anointing. And the devil will not be able to hinder your purpose another day. For a precious anointing is coming on your life today. Be free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Fresh anointing. And so let's pray. We're going to pray this prayer. The Bible says when we do, all things are made new. So I want you to say this boldly, say it loudly, and tell the Lord you mean business. Repeat this prayer with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for sending your Son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me for my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life until I die or till you come to get me. In Jesus' name, I'm free. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going back into an old way of living. I'll no longer be entangled in the bondage of sin. I'm free forever. Now lift your hands and thank the Lord. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. Amen. It's done. Come on, thank Him that you're free. Thank Him that you're free. Thank Him that you're free. Oh, yes, Jesus. Now, those of you that are standing behind, are you ready for this? Lift your hands to heaven. We're going to do just what we preached. We're going to declare the power of the Word into your spirit today. And the Word does the work. I said, the Word does the work. He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and delivered them. He sent His Word and empowered them. So the Word's getting ready to jump into your spirit today. And it's driving out every evil force, every harassing force. Lift both hands to heaven. I declare it now. Every evil thing that was sent by the enemy to destroy your life, to destroy your family, I call it out today in the mighty name of Jesus. And I rebuke it by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I command it to cease and desist in its activities against your life. And I lose freedom from the Holy Ghost into your body, into your mind, into your family, into your finances. And you'll never be the same. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. Fresh fire of the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Fresh fire. Say this with me. Say this with me. Say, every institution of hell that is molesting the destiny of the innocent, we command its divine judgment today by the power of the Holy Ghost. Every evil force sent to stop me in my tracks, we command it to die today in Jesus' name. Now lift up a shout of praise.
Hallelujah. You may be seated real quickly. I don't know about you. That was a dynamic word from heaven. Amen. Now remember, it's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to do the word. Some of you, God has spoken to you. He was speaking to me 2 weeks ago. The Lord has been speaking to some of you to stop some certain things. He's told you specifically what it is. He's spoken to you clearly. And you keep wondering why you're struggling with the things of God. It's because you have chosen yet still not to obey the Lord in that area. I guarantee you today, God will never ask you to give something up if he doesn't replace it with greatness. I challenge you to obey God. In fact, I command you to obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I challenge you today to obey God in that thing. Some of you are right on the precipice. I'm talking, you're right there. I've seen it so many times in the Spirit as I've been praying for individuals. You're right there. You're right there ready to crest. Yet you cannot crest because you still will not let go of that one thing God has told you to let go of. Let go of it. You'll find that the freedom will come rushing into your life and you will never be the same again. Where you are, you'll look back and say, I never, ever, ever thought I'd leave that spot. But now I'm in the promised land. Amen? I said amen. So shout it out loud. I'm going to give it up. Shout out loud. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to make a place of the anointing. Amen. That's what God has for you. We want to bless the man of God. Can I hear an amen? In this house, we're sowers. Turn to someone and say, I'm a sower. We know that when we sow, we shall reap, and we have the opportunity and the privilege to sow into good ground. I don't know about you. I've loved watching this whole family, especially Brother Teddy. I just love Brother Teddy. His spirit is just so powerful, and he loves the Lord. He's excelling in the things of God, traveling all over preaching the gospel, and I love the ability to sow into greatness. You know, there's something that I've seen very few people do. If they see a stock that's failing, they don't run over and start investing in it. Nobody wants to invest in failure. But the Bible says that when you see good ground, sow into it. And when you sow, you shall reap a harvest. For this is the year of kingdom seed. And as you sow, you shall reap. And I want you to know without any reservation, my wife and I love sowing into Brother Ted. My wife and I love sowing into the entire Shuttlesworth family. We sow a lot. My wife and I love sowing into Uproar. We give, I'll just let you know, my wife and I sow $100 a week into Uproar, above our tithes and our other offerings, because we believe that what you saw, all those teenagers are worth sowing into. We don't talk about sowing, we do it. We don't try to get people to give money, we give. Because we know it works. God's word always works. Can I hear an amen? If you're struggling with your finances, you need to obey God. And then you need to learn to seed. Can I hear an amen? So today, I challenge you to seed into this man of God. And as he goes from here to the next place of ministry, remember, he'll be back here September, the week of September 13th. For the outdoor Rock the City Crusade right down in Grove Park in Elmira, New York. I hope they're ready. We're going to kick the devil out of Elmira. I said, we're here to kick the devil out of Elmira. Can I hear an amen? Are you ready to sow? Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll give us exactly what to sow. Lord, not a dollar more, not a dollar less. We ask that we'll simply obey the direction of you, that we will sow, and then we know everything that they need will be taken care of by the Holy Ghost. So, Father, thank you for today in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the prayer. We thank you for the miracles, and we thank you for the man of God that we can invest into. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, come on and bless the Lord with the sowing into the Brother Shuttlesworth. Hallelujah. We love you. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart today. Make sure you get out to the table and grab his book, Blood on the Door.